You're listening to Lone Star Community Radio on 104.5 KCZW LP Conroe and 106.1 KZCC LP Conroe and worldwide on IRLoneStar.com.
Trick or treat, Lone Star Radio listeners. This is Dick, the General Manager, taking this quick moment to remind you that Lone Star Community Radio is looking to fill some of our talk show slots along with some of our DJ slots. We have a new show airing on the 10th, Making Connections with Stacey Harris, which will air every second Tuesday of the month at 1 p.m. Make sure to check it out along with our other programs on Lone Star Community Radio. For more information on Lone Star Community Radio, visit us online at IRLoneStar.com. And again, if you're interested in doing something with us, call the station, 936-647-3776. Thanks for checking out this recording, and I hope you guys enjoy.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this week's edition of the Weekly Business Hour. This is Rick Schisler, your Silver Fox advisor and host of the Weekly Business Hour. Boy, it's great to be back in this chair again. I've been off on vacation, seeing part of the country, the eastern part of the country, and it was a lot of fun, and we had great weather, and we've come back to even better weather. So how can you beat that? Great vacation. Glad to be back. Well, I want to start off today and welcome a new show sponsor, Allegra HR. Lisa McElroy and her company are sponsors of our show, and I want to welcome them, and I really appreciate them doing that. Allegra HR is an HR company, human resource company. They work with companies with one or more employees. You know, we need to remember that employees are our most important asset. We need to invest in getting the right people for the job and keeping them excited about what they do. If you need assistance with your HR, I highly encourage you to contact Allegra HR. That's A-L-E-G-R-E HR and talk with Lisa McElroy. Well, the Weekly Business Hour, as some of you know, is where Montgomery County and the businesses throughout the world come to talk about the latest in business news, ideas to improve your business, and to hear from some of our local business leaders on how they have found success right here in the Montgomery County area. We're going to start off today's show with my thought for the week entitled, What is in a Name? And then we have a very special guest joining us today. I think you're going to find some of the information that he provides with us and talking about his business is going to be very unique and very important to many of you. Stephen King with Growth Force is going to join us. We also have a new segment today, first time up, entitled, Where Are They Now? I'm going to bring back from time to time folks who appeared on the show a year, 2 years ago, and just see where they've gone with their businesses, see how it matches up with what they told us a year or two ago with their future plans. And I'll close out today's show, as I always do, with a Silver Fox Tip of the Week. This week, entitled, Business Growth and Enjoying the Fruits of Your Labor. So I encourage you, sit back, grab your pad and pencil, and get ready to take notes as we talk about business right here on the Weekly Business Hour. And before I move on, I want to talk briefly about the Silver Fox Advisors, particularly if you're located in the greater Houston area, Montgomery County, Harris County. These are men and women who have finished their main career track and they want to continue working. And the way they're doing that is offering their background, their experience, and serving their clients in the area of mentoring and consulting to help you grow your business, help you to be more successful in your business. And if you're not where you think you'll be, and I'll be talking about that in the Silver Fox Tip of the Week, if you're not where you think you should be or want to be with your business, I encourage you, go to the web, silverfox.org, silverfox.org. Look at the website, look at some of the things they do, and there's a listing of 50-plus individuals, men and women, who have a great deal of experience that can help you. So I encourage you to check it out. Before we move forward, too, I want to make sure that you understand at any time during the show or after the show, if you have a question for me, even if it's about your business, just send me an email. And the email address is simple, Rick, R-I-C-K, at IRLoneStar.com. Send me your thoughts about the show, anything you want to talk about related to business, and I will respond to you. Well, let's start off with our thought for the week. What's in a name? You know, all of us have a business name. We've named our business, and it's always kind of funny to me how people come up with that name. It's an interesting part of starting a business. Hey, I get to pick my own name. And sometimes we do it with a lot of thought. Sometimes we do it because or look for the idea and something that happened in the past. I've even had people tell me they've named their business after their children. All of that's okay. But the fact is that your business name becomes your identity. We've talked about in the past before about how the name on the front door and how the name on your stationery, your products, is so important in building that trust with your clients, with your customers. But, you know, when we look at the name, sometimes as we go down the road in our business, we'll stop for a minute and say, hey, do I need to change my name? Has my business changed? Sometimes you need to change your name. I find a lot of companies, particularly larger ones, always want to update their name so it fits in with where the world is today. I'm not saying there's anything wrong or right about that. It's up to each company. But the fact is, you got to remember, that name is so important. A couple of things, though, I want to mention real quickly. First of all, don't ever make the mistake of changing your name because you want to be more competitive. In other words, you look at your competitors, you look at their name, and you say, hey, they're really successful. Maybe if I change my name, that'll help me. Don't do that. You set your name. You set the pace. Let your competitors adjust to your name. And the second thing is, what you need to remember is, if your name is working for you, and really take a good look at this, if the name is right, there could be other things that need improvement or adjustment or fixing. It's not always the name. But the old adage, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Remember that. Just don't change your name to change your name. Lots of opportunity out there for all of us in today's world. So I encourage you, go out and grab it. A reminder, too, as we move forward in the show, we're on Facebook, the Weekly Business Hour page on Facebook. And I would encourage you to go to that page and become a like us on that page and set up an alert. Because each week when we post each week's show, you will get an alert that the new show has been posted. You can take a look at who our guests were, what we talked about, and if something looks interesting, you can listen to the show. So again, please like us on Facebook. Well, our business guest, and again, as I said, this is a very, very good opportunity to talk about business, the virtual world, the outsourcing, which I think are so important that those considerations be made in your business today, especially if you're a small business. You've got to be willing to outsource your business. In my opinion, you got to look at it long and strong. Stephen King, The Growth Force. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, Stephen, I'm so impressed, and we were talking about it a little bit before the show, that the way you market, you go out there, you convey such great information about what you do in your marketing, particularly online, social media and whatnot. And I just had to have you come and talk to us because it impressed me how you put your business out there. I understand, I think, the worth of the outsourcing of your business, but tell us exactly, what does Growth Force do?
Growth Force provides an outsourced bookkeeping, accounting, and controller service for companies that use QuickBooks. So we have a fractional share of an accounting department where we can take over all or pieces of the back office, so allow you to focus on your core competency.
Well, again, I'm a fan because I know a number of people that are outsourcing business, different parts of their business, and done right, particularly in the life of a business, it's a great way to go. Well, let me ask you, you look for people with QuickBooks, so that's the first qualifier, right?
Yep.
What's the next qualifier that I would profile to be a potential candidate for your business?
We specialize in businesses that make money on people. So companies that are white-collar businesses or skilled blue-collar businesses that are looking to run better, grow faster, and make more money. So what we do is we're able to help them implement not just the basic bookkeeping and financial accounting services, but we like clients that want to see management accounting and management reports. Well, for us, what that means is being able to see the profitability of every customer and every job, and then tag that customer and job to see with what marketing campaign brought that in, or what sales rep, or what industry, or what size of company. And then you can figure out what are the most profitable marketing campaigns, the most profitable industries, and focus your energies on the right size companies.
So the bottom line is you're providing more than the standard accounting services. Is that where Growth Force comes with the name?
Yeah, it's funny. I've got a great naming story. When I started it, I called it Finance and Accounting Outsourcing. And I had a nice big logo with an F, the word and an A for accounting and outsource. And my wife, I'm from New York. My wife said, a guy from New York cannot have a company whose initials are F and A. So I went to my co-founder, who's a marketing guy. He's the one who gets the credit for all. Jim Dougal get all credit for all that marketing brilliance. And we did a word library where we defined the words that defined who we wanted to be. And we wanted to help businesses grow. We wanted to provide them a team, a force of bookkeepers and accountants who know small businesses and know QuickBooks, and be able to unleash the power of QuickBooks and make it your accounting department, so you don't have to worry about building and maintaining and supervising a non-revenue generating function.
You know, I really like what you've done in differentiating your company from the other accounting services or bookkeeping services. There are a lot of them in Montgomery County, and I think a lot of them do a good job as far as the bookkeeping.
Sure.
The idea that you're promoting growth and, like you say, utilizing QuickBooks, how do you convey that to people who are interested in your business? In other words, you made a great statement. You say, well, we take all the power of QuickBooks, and I'm paraphrasing, and we make it work for you. How do you convey that message to people?
Well, I think that's partial. You know, we're a virtual business, right? So we do have a service center in Kingwood, Texas, right off of 59 and Kingwood Drive. And all of our accountants and bookkeepers and managers are in that one location. So we're a little bit different from most virtual accounting teams in that we have 60 plus people in one location. So it builds a good core value. And but our sales and marketing is entirely virtual. So our storefront is our website. And you know, what we do is we listen to the questions that our clients ask us, and then we answer them in my blog and in our white papers and in our ebooks. So the logic here is that what users, prospects are going to be Googling up in the search terms are going to be the same questions that your clients are asking you every day. And so we're a content machine. We focus on and answering the questions that people are looking for in Google, and that works.
You know, I think, again, I applaud you as a business advisor, consultant, Silver Fox advisor. I see what you've got that content going out there. And again, that's what attracted me to reach out to you because I saw, like you said, I didn't realize you were answering questions, but you were definitely communicating what you do in your business.
Yeah. The ebook we've just launched is a CEO's Guide to Keeping Score. And what we do is we actually walk through step by step the best practices for small businesses. We studied over 1,000 businesses in my 35 years of doing this and found that the winners keep score. The winners have at their fingertips the information they need to make decisions that will increase profits. And I'm really excited about this one because it makes a difference. Most small businesses are not good at accounting. And what we do is we help make it easy.
Well, you know, it makes a lot of sense. I like the idea of your scorekeeping. I mean, so many small business, particularly people who are starting up in the first year or two, they really don't understand what that means. And in many ways that you can phrase that, but keeping score is so important.
Yeah, I'm a CPA on the Houston CPA Society board, and I chair the Strategic Planning Committee, and most CPAs are compliance-driven. We have been trained to look backwards. And so what management accounting does is it helps you look forward and make future decisions that will increase profits and improve cash flow.
You know, this is an interesting discussion. I hate to say that we're at our first break, but ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you to stay with us. We come back, we're going to talk with Stephen some more about keeping score and how that can really, really make a difference in your business. So please stay with us.
Resources play a huge role in today's business world and can be a real challenge for small businesses. That's why outsourcing the complex and demanding HR roles with Allegre HR Advisors is the smart choice for your small business. Allegre brings a level of expertise while still providing a cost-effective choice for all your HR needs and allowing you to focus on the performance of your thriving business. Contact Allegre HR Advisors today at 281-620-0713 or visit allegre.hr.com to get all your HR needs taken care of.
Hispanic Chamber Connections with Dr. Carlos Sanchez, President of the Woodlands Conroe Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, featuring event announcements, member highlights, and more. Tuesdays at 1 p.m., broadcasting from the heart of Conroe, Texas on IRLoneStar.com and Conroe's FM 104.5, 106.1.
A Lone Star Community Radio is looking for those who are interested in hosting their own talk show with monthly and weekly slots available on Conroe's FM 104.5, 106.1, and on IRLoneStar.com. Start your own podcast, create your first YouTube channel, and be on TV. Contact Lone Star Community Radio online at IRLoneStar.com or call the station message line at 936-647-3776 to take your first step into the radio world.
This is Rick Schussler, your Silver Fox advisor and host of the Weekly Business Hour. Welcome you back to our next segment of the show. And we're in the part in the we're currently visiting with Stephen King of Growth Force, having a great conversation here this morning about outsourcing your accounting and scorekeeping. How about that? Scorekeeping services to someone. Well, Stephen, what motivated you to start this company?
Well, I was at Ernst & Young, and I was serving really large Fortune 100 companies. And I, in college, was a bookkeeper for small businesses. And I found that the systems that my small business clients needed were the exact same as the Fortune 100. And so I left Ernst. I started my own CPA firm, and I started with a goal to be that trusted advisor, the chief financial officer. But I found that I could not get the system set up and the people trained to do it. And there weren't enough skilled accountants to do the work. And I thought, if I could access a team of trained professionals who understood the systems on demand so that they could deliver to me the financial statements and the work papers and make sure that the accounting was done right, then I could look at the finished product and be that trusted advisor. And so I started a company when Netscape 1.0 came out called Virtual Growth. In New York, I raised $43 million of venture capital funding. We built the largest outsourced accounting company in the United States, and found that there was a big demand for that services. So we fast forward to Growth Force, and our goal was to be able to help businesses improve their profits and increase their cash flow. Most of the people come to us, though, because their bookkeeper quit, or they're outgrown that staff person and they have to get billing done or payroll isn't being done right. And so we've evolved it to taking care of the basics. We do really good work around the bookkeeping and the billing and the collections, and we pay bills and we reconcile bank accounts. But where we get passionate is around helping businesses grow. I started it because our small business clients, the QuickBooks users, their staff didn't understand accounting and they were making lots of mistakes, so their books were a mess.
Well, you know, what I like about your business, again, the basic services you mentioned, the accounting, bookkeeping, but it really bleeds over or transitions over to the CFO role by giving people that kind of information. And let's face it, most small businesses cannot afford a CFO.
Yeah, and what's great about us is we're actually a platform, a resource to the accounting industry. So for those outsourced CFOs that are out there, they can plug into our team and we become their team. So we work for their clients under the direction of that outsourced CFO. So if you have a CFO or an outsourced CFO, we're a great solution. And if you can't afford one, you're not there yet, we can take you all the way up to the controller level.
You know, that's a fantastic way, because people are really, you know, some businesses, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit at the end of the show with my thought for the week, but they grow the business to a certain point and they're okay with that. And I've found this in my practice. But those that want to continue to grow, that really want to build big businesses, outstanding business, whatever, they want that growth, they need to plug into services like yours, in my opinion, to reach those growth levels.
You know, I can't really talk about our clients because we're accountants, right? So it's confidential. But we do have a couple of case studies where I'm able to share some of the details. And I have a great example of one a company called Chief Outsiders. So Art Saxby is the CEO. It's a Houston-based business. All across the country, they've got chief marketing officers and highly trained professionals in marketing. And about a year ago, January, Art emailed us and said, I got a bill here from Vistage for sponsoring Vistage, and it's six figures. And we're a partnership. So for tax purposes, in December, we got rid of all of our cash, distributed to the partners. And now I got this six-figure bill, and I'm going to pass because I don't have six figures to pay this. But I thought I would ask, can you tell me how much revenue we got from that Vistage sponsorship? And we were able to email back saying, yes, we can, Art, but more importantly, you're asking the wrong question. You want to know how much profit did you get? And he got four times as much profit on that Vistage sponsorship than he did from anything else that he had done. He said, oh my goodness, I almost didn't do that. And that's what happens is businesses get stuck. They plateau because they're running on their gut. They're making decisions on emotions, not data-driven decisions. And when you look at the winners, you know, we've studied over 1,000 of them. The ones that rise to the top make decisions based on having information at their fingertips.
You know, it's so important. And again, it just amazes me that small businesses would have access to that kind of information and that kind of assistance. It's really interesting. Well, I realize that you are confidentiality is really important to you, but give us an idea of what a profile of a good prospective customer or client would be for you.
We typically work on businesses from startup to $25 million in revenue. And our ideal sweet spot is somebody who's the $2 to $10 million. So they've got the business going. They have started with a bookkeeper and the owner doing all the back office work. And they realize that they've outgrown that. They need to get more professional about their running of the operations. And what they value is financial intelligence. We like people who see outsourcing as a strategic competitive advantage. When I went to school, we were taught how to use other people's money, right? OPM. Now it's other people's resources. We're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on training and people on how to do all the advanced technology in using a QuickBooks ecosystem. We call it our smart back office. And we've got an ebook on that, on how it all works. But the companies that come to us see leveraging our investment as a way to help them be a market leader.
Well, you know, let's talk about that for a minute, the outsourcing component. I mean, you've got to convince people probably to outsource when they may have never outsourced anything. How do you go about convincing someone, though? I mean, you've got to be challenged by that. How do you overcome that concern of just outsourcing?
The first thing is that people are worried about losing control. So what you've got to do is you've got to demonstrate to them actually how, through the use of technology on their iPhone, they have more control over that than they ever did when they did it themselves. So, for example, we have a bill payment portal where our clients, we recommend to them that you stop writing checks. It's risk of fraud. It's very expensive to write a check. And you don't have any visibility to the data that you would if it was in electronic form. So on your phone, you can actually see a scanned image of every bill that's going to be paid. And in seconds, you can decide what you're going to pay, what the accounting is for it. You can have rules that allow you to have multiple levels of approval. And it'll show up in an inbox. And you have much greater control than you would if you were paying bills by check, where the office manager could forge a check, write it to their own AT&T bill, and you'd never see it. And that goes through with billing, collections, financial reporting. The whole process gives you a lot more control. And you get access to your own dedicated accounting team, where a bookkeeper, an accountant, and an accounting manager are your department. So you've got somebody has a question, you pick up the phone or you email them, and you'll get answers much faster than you would if they had a bookkeeper who's also responsible for IT and HR and office services and ordering supplies and doesn't really want to do the accounting in the first place.
You know, that's an interesting perspective. One of the things that I mentioned early on in our conversation today is I was just so impressed the way you market your services. And you mentioned you rely on the content, that you put information out there, answer questions. How, though, do you market? I mean, where do you put that message out?
Well, there's a couple of ways. We have channel partners, our outsourced CFOs and CPAs who want to be trusted advisors who don't want to do the bookkeeping. We have a partnership with Insperity, is an outsourced HR company. So their sales reps are selling our services across the country. And then our direct leads come through our website. So we are constantly on social media sharing these ebooks and building up our lists and holding webinars and basically trying to share all of our knowledge with the public so that they realize that we're not pushing sales material to them. We're showing them what the best practices are. So they share it with the two friends, and then we get more names on the list.
Now, you rely primarily as far as a vehicle to get your message out, social media. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah. And our website overall. What that content does is when somebody is searching something, like, for example, we just talked about one on Friday about we have a big client that has a lot of rental properties, and they've just come on board and they wanted to know, you know, I've got to make a security deposit. Do I do that the same way that I would a regular deposit? And it was like, no. Here's the steps. 1, 2, 3. Well, we'll take that best practice and we'll put that into a blog so that when somebody types in, how do I record a security deposit in QuickBooks, we should show up at the top of the list.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I mean, you've obviously kind of circled the wagons there. You've got all kinds of information that people can access. Well, let me ask you, I mean, in general, and we've talked about this in your business, but outsourcing is becoming more and more prevalent. I think it's one of the keys to allow a lot of people just to start a business if they're willing to outsource all kinds of things. Why do you think it's so important that people really open their eyes to outsourcing, not just startups, but maturing businesses?
Well, I think first off, it's cheaper, right? We're typically 30 to 40% cheaper than hiring somebody, especially accountants. The average salary in Houston for a degreed accountant coming right out of school with zero experience is $54,500. And you don't know whether that person is good or bad. You don't know whether or not they have the right core values of your company or their behaviors are going to be successful. And so besides saving money, though, the biggest advantage is you're getting the best practice. You're getting the experts. This is all we do every single day. And you have a greater confidence that we know how to recruit. We know how to train. We know how to supervise. And then we know how to do each step of the process. Whereas if you're not in the business of doing accounting, you end up with a single point of failure, right? You have a dependency on that one person. And that's a big risk for such a critical function.
No, there's no doubt about that. Well, let me ask you this as the final question we wind down here today. What is the future for your business growth force and yourself going forward?
Well, we're growing rapidly. In September, we signed on 8 new clients, which is the most we'll take on in 1 month. We have a limit to make sure that everybody gets served. And we just are planning on continuing what we're doing. We are partnering with outsourced CFOs and starting to bundle their financial services into our controller service. So that's a big one. And we're also working on labor cost allocations, job costing for tracking activity-based costing for small businesses. So a white-collar service business or a skilled blue-collar business can see profitability by customer, by job, by product or service, by department, by team, by industry, by whatever way they want to see profitability, so they can study the past to help them improve the profits in the future.
Well, it makes good sense to me. If people are interested in talking to you about your services or anything we've talked about today, what's the best way for them to reach out to you and your firm?
Our website is our storefront. It's www.growthforce, growthforce.com. And our blog button is on the right-hand side. That's probably the best way to get connected with us, because then you'll get to see all that, those great, valuable content that we're sharing with all of our prospects.
Well, Stephen, I can't thank you enough. Again, I was excited about the prospect of you coming on, and you have really delivered. Sounds like you got a wonderful business, and I would encourage people who are listening to reach out if you're thinking about or considering outsourcing. It's a good step for a lot of businesses to take. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of our second segment today. And before I let you go for the break, I want to mention again our show sponsor, Allegra HR and Lisa McElroy. A great firm is out there and available to you. They, in a sense, are a virtual company as well, and they can work with you on your HR situation. And what I find is many times companies don't realize they have HR issues. Reach out to Lisa and Allegra HR and talk to them about what your HR looks like and what you would like it to look like. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of the second segment. When we come back, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we're going to have a new segment, Where Are They Now? And we're going to have a great guest, I'll keep it as a surprise, that's going to talk to us about where they've gone since they were on the program originally. So please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Resources play a huge role in today's business world and can be a real challenge for small businesses. That's why outsourcing the complex and demanding HR roles with Allegra HR Advisors is the smart choice for your small business. Allegra brings a level of expertise while still providing a cost-effective choice for all your HR needs and allowing you to focus on the performance of your thriving business. Contact Allegra HR Advisors today at 281-620-0713 or visit allegra.hr.com to get all your HR needs taken care of.
Attention, movie lovers. The Ticket Stub is a new radio show servicing Montgomery County that is meant for you. The Ticket Stub is available live every Thursday at noon on FM 104.5 and 106.1, as well as anytime on IronLoneStar.com. Connor and Dick will let you know what's coming out in the theater, what is worth streaming, and what's going on in the world of film. The Ticket Stub, your home for movie talk.
Thank you.
You are listening to the Weekly Business Hour, and this is Rick Schisler, your Silver Fox advisor and host of the Weekly Business Hour. Well, as promised, we have a brand new segment today, and I'm so pleased to kick it off with our guest. Where are they now? These are folks that have been in the studio before a year or two ago in their businesses. We talked about what they were doing and where they were going, so we're going to get an update. And I'm so pleased, as I said, to bring our guest on, Catherine Lane, who is an author. If you remember that segment, talked about the business of being an author. Catherine, welcome to the show again.
Thank you very much, Rick. I'm honored to be here.
Well, you know, in reading your background and what you've done lately, you've had a lot of success since you were last on the show. And I want to talk about that and what that's meant to you and how you've done it and talk about some of the great things you've done. Now, when you were here last time, you had just released your first book. How's that gone?
That's going great. That first book has won 5 awards. The best one was given by Killer Nashville, which was best fiction book of the year. Killer Nashville deals with mystery, suspense, and thrillers. So, of course, my book fit right into that because that's what I write. But not only has it been a wonderful journey just from a personal satisfaction point of view, it has been such a wonderful journey in so many ways. We have learned so much about this business. As you know, my husband and I had both been in business with large corporations. This is, of course, a very small business, and we started from ground zero. And I just can't tell you how pleased I am that we took this move several years ago.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Your first book, Waking Up in Medellin, that was an interesting topic. We talked about the book. It's subject matter, a thriller, as you say. What's come since then? You've got a new book coming out.
I have a new book that just hit the market in early October, and the name of it is Coyote Zone. And it is the same protagonist, the same strong female protagonist as Waking Up in Medellin, because my contract with my publisher calls for maintaining the same protagonist. And it was interesting. When I wrote Waking Up in Medellin, I never expected to write a sequel. Well, it is a sequel, but it stands alone, too. And what's interesting about for writers is that as they learn to love a character in your first book, then, of course, you have a built-in audience for your second book. And that's what the publisher, of course, wanted to capitalize on. And it's very wise. A lot of publishers do that. And the third one will be coming out sometime at the end of next year. And it will take place in Spain and France. But the one I just launched this month takes place in Mexico. And Nikki has moved from being a fraud auditor to being a full-fledged private investigator in the second novel.
And we're talking about Nikki Garza, if you don't, that's our protagonist. Very interesting book, the first one, and now Nikki has moved on in her life and her career and been the subject of another book. This is so interesting.
And, of course, it progresses my career as a writer, too, which is very interesting.
Well, let's talk for a minute about the awards. I mean, you mentioned you've gotten 5 awards, I guess, centered around that first book. And you mentioned the Killer Nashville Award. How important is it to an author to get these kinds of awards? What does that really do for you?
Oh, it makes all the difference in the world. It's just like a law student who has just passed the bar exam. It puts that law student in another category. It makes him a full-fledged attorney. So winning awards for authors puts you in a special category. It puts you in a place where people are interested in giving your book a read. They want to go out and read award-winning authors. It really makes all the difference in the world. A lot of authors today need to have that special recognition because it is a very competitive business to be in.
Well, it sounds like what it does is it validates you as an author, particularly when you're starting out. But awards will always be out there, the possibility. So I assume it just continues to feed your career and give you recognition above and beyond the other folks that compete with you, so to speak.
That's correct, Rick. That's exactly what it does.
Well, tell us a little bit about the other awards, if you will. Just share with us, because, again, a lot of listeners are not going to know these awards or have heard of them before.
Yes, well, I was the second runner-up in California at the Roan Award, which is done by In Detail Magazine. We did not go out to that convention because that's when we were launching the current book, Coyote Zone, so we were unable to make it. But the fact that I won there in a mystery, well, I didn't win the actual award, but I was second runner-up, which is an amazing honor. in a market where absolutely no one knows me. Of course, no one really knew me in Nashville, where I won two awards. I won the best suspense novel, and then all of the categories competed. It was 12 categories, and got the best book award. And Waking Up in Medellin was awarded, my book was awarded the best book of the year 2017. And then there was a Reader's Choice Award that I also won. Again, people voted that I didn't even know, because it wasn't anything that we put out and said, please vote for me. And that was very gratifying. And then we had a Pinnacle Award that I won. That was the very first one. And that was in fall of last year that it won the Pinnacle Award. And the way I look at it is that Pinnacle Award just launched us on the right path. And I'm just so happy that people have read the book and like it.
Well, you know, what I'm hearing, I think, as a business person is that these awards, you have to put some time and effort making sure you apply. I assume you apply, make application of some sort. That's so important, I guess, to being an author. It's not just writing a book and having it published. You got to work on getting it out there and getting it known.
That's the way you have to do it today. And you're absolutely right, Rick. It used to be that publishers would give authors, even new authors, an allowance to go out and do things and make appearances. Well, all of that pretty much has to be organized now by the authors themselves, unless they're well-established authors. That's a different ballgame. But for new authors, you have to create your own marketing. You get some assistance from your publisher, but not a whole lot. And it really is up to the author as to whether the author succeeds or not. And I think that there are a lot of good authors that if they out there that are brand new, that if they just took a little more time at marketing their book, that they would be much more successful than they are.
Well, let me ask you this, just to go back, because I'm assuming we have listeners who did not listen to that first show. Tell us about how you started in your business of being an author. Kind of take us back to what motivated you to get in the business.
Well, what motivated me is I had left my corporate job with Johnson & Johnson, and I had traveled the world for them. And then my last few years were all in Latin America, where I'm originally from Mexico. And I had originally been an artist. And when I left J&J, I thought I wanted to get back into the arts. But it suddenly seemed like painting was just not the right thing to do. And I thought, I have so much to write about, all these countries I've been to. And of course, I knew the business side of a large corporation. I thought, surely that can translate into a small business. And so that's exactly what my husband and I have done is the first book, I took my background from the international finance world, just as John Grisham was an attorney that writes about lawyers. I was a finance person in the international scene that placed that background. The book is all fiction, but I placed it in a background that I knew. The second book has moved on. It is not in a finance. It is international, but it's not finance anymore.
Right. So you started out, which would make sense to me, with something you knew. Like anyone who starts a business, if you've got a background, generally speaking, I believe it obviously makes it more, it's easier to get started with something you know, but you've got to be willing to transition into carrying the story forward, just like any business with products and services. I find that neat. One of the other things I thought was interesting is you also, if I recall, chose that you wanted exotic locations, you wanted some travel. I mean, this all fit in with your background, right?
Very much so, because my husband and I both love to travel. And what a better way to do my research than to do some travel and set my novels in very exotic locations.
So you get to live the book, so to speak.
That's correct.
That is so interesting to me. What does the future hold for Catherine Lane and Nikki, or what other books you might be coming out with?
Well, the third one will be out sometime next year, and I think it will be very exciting because it will take place in northern Spain and southern France, and that is a big leap, not just across the Atlantic, but a big leap from the standpoint that that's an area of the world that even though I'm familiar with it, I'm not nearly as familiar as Latin America, so I am really challenging myself with that one, but we're having so much fun doing the research together, that is the travel research. Then, of course, I have the nitty-gritty work of doing online research and then writing the book. I'm about a tenth of the way through right now.
So we got to get Nikki from Mexico over to Spain and France.
That's correct.
Oh, wow. That in itself will be an interesting story. Well, Catherine Lane, I do appreciate you so much coming in and sharing your new ideas, your books, and the things and your success. Tremendous success. If people want to get your books, what's the best way for them to find them?
on Amazon.com, obviously, and it's best to, they can search for me, Catherine Lane, with a K-A-T-H-R-Y-N, Lane, L-A-N-E, or they can use the titles of my book, which is probably a better way, Waking Up in Medellin, Backyard Volcano, and of course the recently published one, Coyote Zone.
Yeah, Coyote, I can remember. That's an easy one to remember. Well, I encourage people. This is someone who started a business, being an author. It's a business. You do a lot of marketing. You've had a lot of success, and congratulations on that. And again, thank you for joining us today. And we're going to continue to do these. We're going to update on where people are. And obviously, you are a wonderful person to start with. You've had a lot of success.
Thank you very much, Rick. It's a pleasure.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take our final break for the day, and we're going to come back with a little bit change in our schedule, but we'll be right back to speak to you. Stay with us.
Human resources play a huge role in today's business world and can be a real challenge for small businesses. That's why outsourcing the complex and demanding HR roles with Allegray HR Advisors is the smart choice for your small business. Allegray brings a level of expertise while still providing a cost-effective choice for all your HR needs and allowing you to focus on the performance of your thriving business. Contact Allegray HR Advisors today at 281-620-0713 or visit allegray.hr.com to get all your HR needs taken care of.
Don't forget to download the Lone Star Community Radio app from your Google Play or Apple Store. Bring Montgomery County's community radio with you anywhere with your smartphone or tablet. If you are in the Conroe area, tune in on FM. That's Conroe's FM 104.5, 106.1. If you are on the computer, bookmark irlonestar.com as your internet radio station. A Lone Star Community Radio, broadcasting 24/7 from the heart of downtown Conroe, Texas.
This is Rick Schisler, your Silver Fox Advisor and the host of the Weekly Business Hour. Welcome you back to our fourth segment of the day. And this is the segment where I try to kind of enlighten you a little bit on some things I've seen in my life, experienced in my business, or heard from other people. And this week, I'd like to talk about something I call business growth and enjoying the fruits of your labor. You know, one of the things I think people miss when they start a business, and to me, it's a shame, I guess is the only way to say it, is they miss the fact that when you start a business, you really should enjoy it. Now, some folks will say, well, gosh, I can't enjoy it. I'm out there working 10, 12, 15 hours a day. But you really need to enjoy your business. In fact, that is one of the things I try to determine first when I talk to someone about a potential client being a client with me is what are they doing in the business, what their goals are personally, how their family's involved. Because in small business, family is typically part of the business. They may not work in the business. But let's face it, your spouse, your children, if you have them, other relatives and people who might depend on you for their living. It's important that everybody's on the same wavelength, if you will, because if they're not, then you're going to be miserable in your business and there's no way to enjoy it. The other thing I find that's sort of disconcerting to me is so many people are in a business they just don't want to be in, but they went into it because they saw the opportunity to make some money. It felt right from that point of view, but they didn't really take enough time to say, hey, this is something I really enjoy, because I believe if you have a passion for a business, then it's so much easier to be successful. In fact, I find it almost impossible, but not 100% impossible, but almost impossible not to be successful unless you enjoy it. And that kind of brings us to the point I want to make today, enjoying the fruits of your labor. And the point is, as you build a business, maybe not in the first year or so where there is a lot of groundwork typically to do in a business where you're wearing many hats, as you grow the business and are able to bring in employees to take over responsibilities, you might not have much time to enjoy the fruits of your labor. But once you get past that first year or two, you should be able to really see that you're having time to yourself, with your family, whatever needs you have to kind of pump yourself back up, regenerate your thoughts, to get away. I mean, I just got away on a vacation. It was longer than normal, but my business has gotten to the point where I can afford to do that and keep it running, keep things happening. And I design my business ultimately to make sure that I'm allowed at least a certain amount of time, because otherwise I'm going to burn out or something else worse might happen. So it's important that you put that in your business. And let me go over a few quick points here, and maybe some of them will ring true. Maybe one of them will ring true to you on where you are. And to me, they're red flags. First of all, you've got a business and you've built the business, but it is just not where you want it profitability wise. And one of the the things you have to have in place to enjoy the fruits of your business is that you have to be making some kind of profit. Let's face it. One of the fruits of the business is to be able to take some money home, to take a salary home, to take a bonus home, to take some earnings home. And a lot of times businesses will get to a point, they're making a little money, but it's not where you want that to be. You're frustrated. So you're not really enjoying what you're doing. Another time, and this happens so often, you're burned out in your business. You get burned out by what you're doing day in and day out. And this is talked about a lot in the business world, in the mentoring world, and consulting world. It is talked about the fact that when people get burned out, how do I avoid that? How do I get back on my feet? And to me, that's one of the worst things that can happen to a person, because they'll hang on, they'll keep doing it. And finally, they're burned out and basically they're at the end of the rope and they really see no way forward. Another thing is you hit the ceiling of success. Now, what does that mean, hitting the ceiling of success? Well, you've worked hard, you put in all the hours, and you've got to where you want to be, but you can't get through that ceiling. It's kind of like the glass ceiling we hear about in big business. You just can't break through that ceiling to continue the success, to continue the road to where you want to be in your business ultimately. So you kind of hit the wall, if you will. Another thing that can happen to you is you just feel stuck, you know, and to me, this is kind of a combination of burned out, hitting the ceiling. You're just stuck where you are and you don't really see the path forward. And, you know, you feel like you've done everything you can, but you're just stuck. You can't move forward to fully enjoy the fruits of your business. And then finally, you can feel trapped. Okay, I'm in this business. I've made this commitment. I've invested my family, so to speak, in this. We've rolled the dice. We've made the monetary investment. I've taken some period of life, 1, 2, 3, 5, 10 years, and I put it in the business, and it's just not happening. It's just not happening for me. It's not doing what it really needs to do to get to that next level. And I'm just trapped. I have control of the business, but I'm trapped, but I have no freedom to enjoy the fruits of the business. Well, let's talk about some things that we can do to resolve one or more of these things, if in fact that's where you find yourself in your business. First of all, if you feel like you're trapped or you can't get forward, one of the things you can do is seek outside help. And of course, that's always my go-to, because as a mentor, I have worked with people to show them there are pathways, there are doors that can be opened to get them off of the spot where they're currently sitting. Whether they feel trapped, whether they feel like they can't get through the wall, it's kind of all the same. But the fact is, I can lift them up. That's my job, to lift them up and show them some options, show them where opportunities lie for them to get up and move forward and help them go through the steps to make that happen. So the first option is seek outside help. Seek out a mentor, particularly a mentor that can work with you and work through these steps. Another thing is I can bring in a consultant. You say, well, what's the difference? Well, a consultant can come in, evaluate your situation, and give you a list of things to do or give you an evaluation. You know, one of the things we heard from our guest earlier today, Stephen King, is that what their process does as far as accounting is they take your numbers and show you what's working and what's not working with your numbers. And to me, that's an interesting proposition, that we can have someone come in as a consultant and help us evaluate and show us what's working. And he gave an example of a mutual friend, Art Saxby, and his company, Chief Outsiders, who didn't realize how important something was. It was expensive. They felt like it was a burden. But when they looked at the numbers, it was the absolute best thing they had done as far as drawing or having new business come their way. So there are a lot of things you can do, but you start with mentoring. You start with consulting. You can start with, thirdly, wipe the slate clean and just try to clear your mind and start over, not mentally shut your business down, but mentally start over your business. And I believe in this. Sometimes it's kind of good to go out and quote unquote sanitize yourself, strip away everything that's been on your back and burden you, and look yourself. I think it's better to have somebody help you do that, but you can do this yourself. Clear your head, of what's there and clear your mind of the burden, pull out a piece of paper and a pencil and write down some thoughts you have on your own of how you can move forward in your business. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of today's show, and I appreciate so much you taking time to join us. I think there have been a lot of good ideas talked about today, particularly from our guests, Stephen King and Catherine Lane. And I also appreciate the support I'm getting from Lisa McElroy, Allegra HR, because those people, Allegra, can help you in your business. They can help you see your employees differently and help you raise the bar, if you will, with your employees and what they contribute to your business. So reach out to Allegra HR. And remember, you too can sponsor the Weekly Business Hour. All you need to do is contact me at rick@irlonestar.com for details. And I encourage you to look for the podcast of today's show. If you didn't hear the whole show or you want to re-listen, it'll be published later in the week on the Weekly Business Hour page and also distributed on a number of social media sites. Also, you can go to the website for the station, irlonestar.com, and look up the Weekly Business Hour. Thank you again for joining us. Remember to stay in touch with what's happening in Montgomery County right here on Lone Star Community Radio. Until next week, stay engaged and keep your focus on what counts in your business.
Checking out this podcast of Lone Star Community Radio, Montgomery County's community radio station. If you enjoyed this recording, make sure to check out our past shows online at irlonestar.com or their respective video or podcast formats on YouTube, Google Play, or iTunes. If you have any questions regarding the show, either it being about sponsorships or questions for the host, contact the station manager at dick@irlonestar.com or call the station at 936-647-3776. This show was recorded in downtown Conroe, Texas at the Lone Star Community Radio Studio, and Lone Star Community Radio reserves all rights to this recording and images.